RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
7 o'clock on a Saturday morning here in July in Western New York. It is the Tee to Green Golf Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. We are with you for 2 hours this morning. Hope you're having a good start to your weekend. My name is Brian Cozio, along with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Metis, as we are live, as we normally are, for the final round of the Porter Cup, the 59th annual tournament held here at Niagara Falls Country Club, and a great golf tradition in Western New York this year for the 59th time. And we're here to talk about it on a very, very busy golf weekend, not only here, but across the globe. The third major of the calendar year on the PGA Tour going on overseas at the Open Championship, the British Open, the Open, however you refer to it, going on right now with a big name at the top of the leaderboard. So we'll have a lot on the Open. We'll have a lot of the Porter Cup. We're going to talk about last night's Duster Challenge putting contest, which was great. And we'll be joined throughout the show by some of our friends here from Niagara Falls Country Club. Cassie Stein, the tournament director, is going to join us at some point here within the first hour to give us her perspective on the tournament, and also some others from the club as well here, too, just to tell us a little bit about Niagara Falls Country Club. And there's going to be play starting in 8 minutes. The first group going off here at the Porter Cup is at 7:10. So we'll run through that. They've got a big name in the final pairing as well. But let's say good morning to Kevin and Jeff. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, guys. And I have more respect for any tournament director after, I guess, quasi-tournament director of the Duster Challenge last night. And everything that goes into...
You mean what PGA pros do every day of their life?
Yeah,
there you
go. That's why you guys weren't sweating. Yeah.
No, I'm over there,
you know, running around like crazy and, you know, my third shirt. And you guys are just like, you know, as cool as the other side of the pillow, as the late Stuart Scott used to say. So, yeah, it was a great event last night for Fox Valley. Thank you to everybody who came out, our sponsors, many of whom also sponsor TD Green here on the show. And we got to present a big check, literally and figuratively, yeah. to the Western New York PGA Reach Foundation to help the veterans programs. And nearly $2,000 last night from, you know, our small putting event, which, well, it was bigger.
Which was big.
It was bigger this year, and it was awesome. The putting was awesome.
Oh, it was just, you know, the word I kept hearing at the scoreboard was fun. Everybody that came off just said, this was so much fun. And like, as you said, the putting was just, hey, guys making 3 15-footers in a row to keep matches going.
Yes.
You know, making the 8-footer left to righter to keep, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it was really, really fun. I think everybody had a good time, and I think people are going to have a good time here today watching this Porter Cup.
Yes, absolutely. But, no, congratulations to all that participated last night. The kids, Charlie Fisher was our kids division champion, and Kyle Harmon over Jim Bartkowski in the finals of our adult division. But a wonderful time to be had by all, and we appreciate whether you were there as a spectator, there as a participant, there as a sponsor. Everybody at Fox Valley, the Western New York PGA, Custom Turf, Encore Golf, Michelob Ultra, Body Armor. Am I missing anybody from last night?
What's the Wedges?
Yes. And everybody from Fox Valley.
Yes.
For being gracious hosts. Yes.
That was cool.
It was a very, very cool event.
By the way,
I've got about
getting early.
That's right.
I think we already looking forward to next year.
I think we figured out the formula, right?
I think so.
I mean, we've got we had some more putters than last year, but I think we just about had the right number.
Yeah, it's going to be
50s our guy. Yeah, 50s our cap, I think, boys.
Yeah, just for pace of play and for everything else, I think that was we were at a pretty good number there, and I think the people that participated saw that. They moved out. They kept moving around. There was always something to do. I thought it was really neat that the kids had something to do. So if you brought your kids, they got to go and watch a movie and have all that good stuff. It was really neat. I was there with Steve Bartkowski, the executive director of the Western New York PGA, and he'd never seen it before, and he was just shaking his head going, this is really, really cool. So it was a fun night had by all. I don't think anybody was regretting that we were there that late.
And that's what the lights were for.
Yeah. That's right. And the lights were cool, no doubt. DJ Jimmy was great the whole night. Yeah. But the greater cause of the whole event, as we said, I mean.
The Reach Foundation.
A great event. What, just quickly, for those that weren't there last night at the Duster Challenge, just what does the Reach Foundation do and the Western New York PGA's involvement in it? And I know Kevin and I are really proud of what we were able to raise and what everybody's participant was able to raise.
Yeah, the Reach Foundation is the foundation of the Western New York PGA. It's part of a larger national foundation of the PGA. And in our area, we use a lot of that money to support our veterans programs. We have a bunch of veterans programs. We call it the Hope Foundation, or our Hope program, which is helping our patriots everywhere. Basically, what we do is the veterans will come from the VA, and it's a tremendous way for them to reassimilate into society. You know, people that have PTSD or other issues or physical ailments or things that they have, and it turns out that golf is one of the better recuperative skills that they can learn, because there's social skills, there's physical skills, there's goal setting, there's all these things that we love and know about golf that really, really help the veterans. And you know, I'm proud to have a very small part in it, but it's really fulfilling when we have these guys out. We have the golf professionals in the area running them through a 6-week program to introduce them to the game, and we're starting to see players year after year come back, and we're seeing them when we had the PGA Championship come and visit us. We got guys buying cars so they can have bigger trunks to fit their clubs in. So all those things, it's been very, very successful, and we're very proud of it, and it's just something we can do small to help those guys for all they did.
So great time had last night, and we'll talk a little bit more Duster Challenge later on in the show, but we're here for 2 hours today, as we do on the weekend of majors of the PGA Tour. We did it for the Masters, the U.S. Open, and now the Open Championship, the British Open. We're going 2 hours today. Also, we're here at the Porter Cup, so another great reason to go for 2 hours. We'll have some thoughts on the Open coming up. Maybe didn't get a chance to catch up with yesterday, Jordan Spieth is leading. He'll be in the final pairing today with Matt Kuchar. So two Americans playing very well right now, going through yesterday's weather, which was rough at Royal Birkdale. Spieth is leading by 2 at -6, Kuchar at -4. U.S. Open champion Brooks Koepka will be in the second-last group, along with Ian Poulter, who earlier in the year was like playing for his life, Kevin, and now he's had quite a good run over the last month, and he's 3 off the lead, and he and Koepka will be in the final last group, or second last group.
The story with Ian Poulter, so he and several players, each year players are on major medical exemptions, and so it's as if their season's paused when it comes to qualifying points, FedEx Cup points, and what they need to maintain their status on the PGA Tour. Well, Brian Gay was also on the same schedule as Ian Poulter, and both players did not meet the criterion or the point total that they needed to have. However, Brian Gay's wife, Kim, whom she'll talk to you while, if you follow his group, she's super nice, she'll talk to you while he's playing. She was doing the math and just said to her husband, like, hey, you know what? Why the point tabulations have changed this year, but when you guys went on your medical exemption, you were under the old point system. So you should be still factored in on the old point system. And so they appealed to the tour, and the tour agreed. Like, yes, that does make you're correct. So they alerted Ian Poulter, like, you're under the old system. You've made it. Thanks to, you know, Brian Gay and his wife Kim, who figured this out. So this whole Twitter thing.
You think you'd pay a little closer attention to that?
Well,
if you're Ian Poulter.
I mean, a lot of people didn't, right?
So they're just complicated system.
After the fact, they went through it. So under that, he made it, and then the Players Championship. He had a great Players Championship, and it's funny. I saw Kim Gay at the airport going to Hartford for the Travelers. I said, hey. Because there's a Twitter thing between them and Ian Poulter, and I even chimed in. Ah, he ought to give you this. And I go, did Poulter give you a gift? It's like, oh my gosh, yes, yeah, he took care of us. So, which is a classy thing to do, you know.
And he's a fun guy. I've met him, Ian Poulter, a couple times. He was an assistant professional and couldn't break 80 for a while, and turned his game around. And you see just how players' games go through these peaks and valleys. And a guy like him just hits the right switch, and now he's playing great. He'll be fun to watch today because he is an entertaining golfer to watch when he's playing golf.
7:10 here, the time on WGR on our Tee to Green Golf Show. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. We're going to have some few guests throughout the day here from our two-hour special edition for Porter Cup Week. And I think first from Niagara Falls Country Club, we're going to bring on the tournament director.
Can I just say what just happened here?
Yeah.
Real quick.
Wow. Very, very classy move, right?
Yeah, Michael Vitch comes over. Michael's going to join us. But you know what? Cassie Stein walks over. Michael just stands up with his classy alligator shoes there. Maybe not. They're not real alligator.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, don't call PETA.
Yeah. It's made of real alligator, so you know it's good. He stands up and defers to the tournament director. So,
well, I think most people do. She walks in the room.
Should.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
She's only got a few, things to do today, right?
Good morning. Yeah, just a little bit. It's all good. Yeah.
So golf officially is now going here. The 7:10 time was the first one out. Andrew Romano, Zach Mandry, Michael Winter are first off, and play's underway. So it's cool. We've got live golf here right in front of us here. We can kind of see the first tee, and it'll go all the way through the 10:50 when the leaders tee off. That's Brandon Wu, Travis Smith, and Gavin Hall. There's actually a four-way tie for the lead. Also, Chris Peatfish, who plays in the second last group, is also tied at -5. So a four-way tie for the top. Golf is open and underway, and it's free to attend here all day long here at Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston. And with us, Cassie Stein, the tournament director. Cassie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
We're great. We're excited to be here.
Good. We're glad you're here.
So tell us about
the first three days. We're exhausted. We ran a putting event last night, the Duster Challenge.
Oh, heaven forbid.
You've been running this whole,
Yeah, I mean, I'm not tired at all. I'm good.
You look fresh.
She looks more fresh than we do.
That's what I'm good.
I'm good, guys. Let's keep it going.
It's your
enthusiasm. Should we go tomorrow, too?
That's right. That's right. All right, so how has the first 3 days been?
It's been great. It's been great. The only one day was the rain day, Thursday. It was a 4-hour delay, but other than that, it's been wonderful. The weather's been awesome. The crowds have been great. The golf has been phenomenal. This is what we want, four people tied for the lead going into the final round, and it's going to be a fun day.
Absolutely. Course is playing tough?
Course is playing very tough. Holy moly. I've heard the rough is this high around the greens. You know, it's very high around the greens, and but everything's green, and everything's fast and firm, and the fairways are great. Everything's in great condition, but it's just, it's a tough course right now.
Yeah, 18's rough. We took a look over there, and it looks like it's a little
thick.
Snaggly.
It's high.
Yes.
Well, it's high.
A couple of players.
Is that because of the rain, or did you guys set it up that way?
It's a little bit of both. Obviously, we want it to be difficult, and we want the rough to be high for these guys. I mean, they're the top amateurs in the world. We want to give them a challenge out here at Niagara Falls Country Club. But, obviously the rain helped a little bit throughout the whole summer.
Well, it's not just the rain, but sometimes it's tough to get in there and cut the grass, because of the wet conditions.
Right. I bet the super's going to try to get in there tomorrow morning.
He might leave it one more day tough for the members out here. Yeah. Let him play it out here
I
once.
I think you should.
Yeah,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Play it under those conditions. No, on Wednesday, I was speaking with Bradley Knox, who is playing well, +1. Mm-hmm. He's in the fifth last group. And also the Haynes brothers that are playing here, local players. David from Canisius, too, as well, and Billy as well. And I was asking them, what's the biggest challenge on there? And they said, if you don't hit the green, this is where you will. He's like, drop down the leaderboard, and that's what they all three of them said that was their most challenging thing here, which is great. I mean, I think that to make that premium on hitting greens. That's an important factor in winning a tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think all the whole game, the game as a whole, you really have to do well. But especially around here, if the rough is that high around the greens, you have to hit that, those greens and make putts if you want to be under par and you want to win this golf tournament.
Yeah, didn't we have somebody shoot 60 a couple years ago, right, in this event? 60, 62?
It was Bill Haas?
Bill Haas shot a very low score.
Yeah.
Is he any good?
Yeah.
He didn't turn out to be that.
He won that $10 million check that
flash in the pan.
Yeah. Name doesn't ring a bell.
No, but here's what I like.
Another cup that was worth $3.
Yeah. A little bit more, right?
Here's what I like. And Cassie, I don't know if you remember this or not, but about a decade ago, I remember being up here when Steve Den was the tournament director. For a while, there was like, I don't want to use the word concern, but there was always talk of, all right, you can only do so much in terms of the length of the course here with the land that you guys have. Guys were smashing it, as long as we always have seen. And
that's every course now, to be honest, but go on.
But then I remember the USGA had their US Open about 5 years ago at Marion, which was very similar in the sense that their course, it was like one of the shortest US Opens in the last 50 years. And then this year, the US Open went and they put it like 7,800 yards. It was ridiculous. And it was, and Koepka was what, 14 under, 15 under? And people said that wasn't good at all. And now this week's Open Championship is 7,100 yards, and it's playing great. And I think, and then you were at the Travelers Championship, which played much in terms of yardage less. And I guess my whole long-winded point here is that the yardage sort of factor that I think a long time, maybe a few handful of years ago, that was always like, oh my God, if a course doesn't keep lengthening, they're going to be, you just can't run tournaments anymore. And I think we're finding there's different ways to do it. And that's why I love that Jordan Spieth is winning, is that you don't have to hit it 370 to be winning in a major. And I think even in an event like this on this Porter Cup scale, like that, a golf course can be challenging without the fact that you don't have to hit it 370 off the tee in order to either play well or find it fun to play.
Well, I don't think people can make up their minds on what they want, right? Because they complain when it's too long and they're shooting 14 under par, or it's too short and they're plus one or something. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think people just need to make up their minds. And I mean, I think it's great no matter what. If the top players in the world are going to play at the highest level and they're going to win golf tournaments, I really don't care what under par is or over par is. I just want to see great golf. Right. And I think that's what we're seeing out here, is that there's four players tied for the lead and you're just seeing great golf out there. Any one of these players can win. I would even say George Cunningham and Luke Mosier have a good chance to win. And they're 2 and 4 strokes back, respectively.
Let me go back to your point real quick, Brian, about the under par score.
Yeah.
Look at last year's Open, Stenson and Mickelson. They were lights out above the field, but all everybody talks about is what a great match that was to win.
Right. Nobody cared what the score was.
16 under, right? I mean,
it was like right, 18 and 16 or something like that.
Yeah, for the Open Championship, that's not an open score, but those two were just so far above the field in that match talked about. So I kind of agree with Cassie. I want to see excellent play and competition as opposed to, the under par.
And then whatever the score is, just let it play itself out, sort of.
Over 72 holes, the best player is going to be found in the field.
And I agree. And you're identifying the best player is what you're trying to do. And whether it's at 16 under par based on the conditions, like my point being a couple years ago when it was dry and firm out here and the rough hadn't had a chance to grow, yeah, they're going to shoot really low scores. If you have a lush year like we've had, then the rough becomes more into play. And it's still, we talk about bombers, it's still a tremendous advantage to hit it long, because if you're hitting an iron into the fairway, you're still going to be far more accurate. How far does Gavin Hall hit it? I mean, that guy's a monster. He roasts it. All these kids absolutely roast it. So there's still an advantage there, but I don't think that these courses are becoming antiquated. As we thought that for a little while, as you said, the courses, we were pushing them back. Push thought that was the only way you could challenge these guys to keep scores around par. And I think, as you said, Kevin, par becomes less important, and as you said, we all want to just see very, very good golf, and to watch the best players play is what we're all here to see. And then you come out today, you're going to see these guys are basically tour players.
Hey,
they're blasting it.
When we do the post-round highlights on PGA Tour Radio, how many pars do you hear?
No.
You don't? No. It's the birdies, right? People want to
the
see
eagles.
Birdies,
right? Exactly. Exactly.
And you have those chances out here. You have par fives you can reach into very easily,
especially
for these guys. Yeah.
No. Cassie, how exciting is the 18th hole going to be today? You've got four players right now to share for the lead. You've got others within a couple shots. Luke Mosier's in within two shots of the lead. 18, which could be a very exciting hole today.
I think all those finishing holes are going to be great. 15, 16, 17, 18, anything can happen. Honestly, you can go OB. You can dunk it in one of the waters. I mean, anything can really happen. But yeah, 18 is going to be a great atmosphere this afternoon, and I'm really excited. Like you said, there's four players tied for the lead, and anyone can make a move this morning, and it's going to be great. I'm excited.
So people who haven't played here, the 15th hole is a hole that a lot of these guys can drive as a par four. It's a dog leg. They blast it over the trees. They can get it near the grill. 16 is a
difficult. Yeah, but it's not. But hang on.
It's hard though.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it's a small target.
Hey, just a green.
It's just a dog leg. No, yeah. You're going over trees. You're going over two water.
And if you don't hit the green, yeah, you're going a lot of trouble.
There's OB left and long, and 16 is a difficult par three. You look over the escarpment there, and it's a beautiful hole, but it's 215 yards with a severely sloping green. 17's one of the tighter driving holes here with OB left and right and an undulating fairway. And then 18's not a long par three, very difficult green, very heavy rough. So you do see some excitement for the finish here. I can imagine it's got to be an adrenaline rush for those guys to walk across the street to 18 and see the crowd around the 18th green and the rough and everything else with a chance to win a major event like this. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even going back to last year when it was Harrison Endicott and Gavin Hall battling out for the finish, I think, you know, Harrison ended up missing the green back behind the hole location at that moment, chipped it past maybe about 15 feet, but still made it to win the golf tournament. Like, I mean, that's pretty incredible, and you're just standing there, and you're like, wow, these guys are really good.
They're good.
Do they hit their tee shot in 16 and then hit their tee shot on 17 like the members do?
No. Members are just too lazy here, just as I am.
Probably the first time I played here, like, we hit our tee shots into the green on 16 on a par 3, and then they're like, okay, you know, take your driver and hit your tee shot on 17. I'm like, why? Because it's a long walk back.
Yeah, that's right. Cassie Stein with us, tournament director of the Porter Cup, along with Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. We're here at Niagara Falls Country Club. Final round of the Porter Cup is underway. Groups are off. And if you want to watch the final group today, 10:50 is the time. Brandon Wu, Travis Smith, and Gavin Hall. And Cassie, I know when we spoke on Media Day and when we interviewed you last week to preview, we said Gavin Hall's back for his sixth year. He's had so many chances to win it last year, as close as ever, and it just slipped away to Harrison Endicott. I mean, he's in position again to win. You know, in terms of, I guess, if you want to say good publicity for this tournament, a Hall win today is probably a good thing for the Porter Cup and a good thing for Hall. And I know that he's probably thinking, maybe can I learn the lessons of previous years here and get it done today? He's probably got what he's thinking.
Yeah, so I talked to Gavin earlier this week, and he's really excited. He's got four amateur events left if he doesn't make that Walker Cup team, and he just wants to play well in these last four events. And especially if he could get a win, that'd be incredible. It's close to home. He knows this course. He loves this tournament. He told me this was his favorite event of the summer. I think a lot of people around here hope he gets it done and hope he learns lessons from last year and just other various tournaments. But
Felix Mickelson won in the Open.
Exactly.
The U.S. Open.
Yeah. It really would be. And he's never gotten one of those big amateur wins, so I think that'd be huge for him. But, all these guys are really, really good, and we would be happy to have any of them as a champion.
Jeff, if you're caddying for Gavin today, or just if you were coaching him this morning as he gets ready to go out and play his final round, I mean, he's been close here before, and it's fallen apart. Sometimes it's slipped away. Sometimes it's been another player that's just risen, and maybe Hall's game hasn't done anything in terms of a negative thing. But what would you be telling him today?
I guess I'd be talking about sticking to our plan. You know, you set up a plan how you're going to attack a golf course. And whatever's going on around you, you can't control that. You can only control what you're going to do. So stick to your plan. If your plan is to drive 16 or try to drive 15 or lay up on 15, you stick to that plan. Maybe late in your round you'd want to deviate based on what's going on around you. I mean, that's when you'd want to look maybe at 15. When you get to the 15th tee, you might want to reassess, hey, do I have the lead or do I need to make a couple birdies to catch this guy? But up until that point, hey, we're gonna stick to the process. We're going to focus on our plan. And when we get to the 15th tee, we're going to see what we got in front of us, and we'll go from there. But just trying to make sure he's confident, you know, as a good player. These guys play by feel and instinct and things like that, so you want to have a lot of confidence as you're going into this round. You'd never want to coach somebody up right before a final round of event and just all of a sudden give him a mechanical swing thought to go
right.
play with.
Especially.
Here, why don't you try to tweak your left, turn your 2-3, whatever
right.
it is. Yeah, keep your fourth power accumulator connected to that vertical downswing axis as you rotate through on C1.
That's exactly my swing thought before.
Yeah, that's right.
None of that made any sense.
It's everyone's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It just sounded good.
Yeah, the defending champion, Harrison Endicott, in the third last group. He's under par. So there are 8 golfers under par, Cassie. Endicott's one of them. Christian DeMarco, that's the son of Chris DeMarco, correct?
Yes.
Will we see Chris up here today?
No.
He's seen him in Buffalo
no,
a lot, though, because
I know.
His nephew. Yep, Chris's nephew.
That's right. That's
Christian's
right.
cousin plays for the Bills now. Yeah, so he did tell me he was coming up for some Bills games this year. I said, dress warm. You're from Florida.
I'll tell you what, the Bills family foursome, if you throw Jack Nicklaus in there, right?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah,
with
Chris DeMarco,
Leary.
Yeah. There's 18 majors in that group, so I'm just saying. Pretty cool that, you know, Bill's family members of their players, Jack Nicklaus and Chris DeMarco.
You got some golf connections.
Yeah.
That's right.
Garrett Rank's in the mix there, too. NHL official.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Even par.
Very cool.
He's at 10:30. So
his first game was in Buffalo, by the way.
What?
NHL game as an official. As
and
a
even
referee.
Par 3 rounds around here is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you got a million things to do, Cassie. We really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here. Just you want to tell everybody what they've missed out on being here for the first 3 and let them know they can come up here for day 4, right? It's free to attend today, right?
Yeah, free to attend. Come on up. Last tee time is 10:50 a.m. at Niagara Falls Country Club. Park where the Boy Scouts are. It's right over across from 10 Green. All we ask is for a little donation for them and come on out and watch them great golf. So these are some of the greatest players in the world, and we're excited to have them, and it's going to be a great finish.
Bradley Knox, who I mentioned earlier, had some wonderful things to say about you and everybody here running the tournament, so I'm gonna give that a little love here. He said, we asked him, they said, you know, what is tough about this tournament? What do you like about this tournament? And he said nothing about the golf. He said nothing about where he stood. He was in the lead there for a while on Wednesday. He said, I've never seen any tournament run like this before. He said, not only for us amateurs is this great in the sense that he's like, they take care of everything for us, whether it's housing or meals or just even guidance on where to go and what to see and who to be with. But he couldn't have been more complimentary of everybody up here in terms of just how welcoming it is. And he said just how the community seems to take such pride in this event. So I wanted to on air say that that's what Bradley Knox had said. A California kid coming all the way across the coast had nothing but great things to say about Western New Yorkers and the people here at Niagara Falls Country Club.
Well,
so kudos to you.
Well, turbulent personality is reflected in the event. It's obvious.
That's
and,
right.
it's and I've heard that from all the kids who play in this event all the time. And I know as a college coach, this is at my team. This is if you win the Little 3, you get an exemption into this event, and they it would make their lives if they could get into an event like this. So it's pretty neat, and you've done a great job. And,
thank you.
It's very very exciting to have it in our area.
We do have one thing to change for next year. Brian and I want you to increase the handicap just for 2 spots for the qualifiers.
Right.
So because we want to.
You guys are starting to sound like my brothers now.
We want to play. We want to try the qualifier, but you got to raise that up there.
Yeah, it's not a net event, Kevin.
Oh, never mind,
Kevin. They also don't let us play the white tees for that.
Okay, double never mind.
I mean, it's better than my brothers. They actually want to scramble as one player.
They still would. They still
get your brothers, Kevin and I, 4-man scramble.
We're
in.
We'll go.
I got to think you guys still might not win.
We probably might not.
I don't know.
Right?
I'll tell you what, though. I'll take Brian and I as a twosome in a scramble.
Yeah.
I'll put it up against the
against Gavin Hall and these boys.
No, not against Gavin.
No.
But against your brothers.
Against your brothers.
Different story.
That's right.
I was going to bet a lot of money.
How many strokes has Gavin given us? And still not enough.
A lot.
Okay.
Cassie, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Cassie Stein, tournament director here at Niagara Falls Country Club, the Porter Cup, the 59th edition. And we wish all the players good luck today. And, of course, we'll be talking about it throughout here for the next hour and a half. We're on till 9, a bonus hour of Tee to Green here, live from Lewiston, one of the best viewing areas. Kevin, is it the best patio in Western New York?
Well, the new
view.
They've got a new banquet room and patio. It's
I know.
Awesome.
We're gonna talk about
really,
that in a few minutes. Yeah,
it is. I mean, on a clear day, well, the view down
see Toronto, yeah.
The escarpment down in the village of Lewiston, and you see Toronto. I mean, it is. It's probably the best view of Toronto.
Yeah.
Period.
Really,
you're
right.
Toronto. No, I'm kidding, Toronto.
Okay, time out here on Tee to Green. We, of course, have lots to get to. We'll have Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News, who's been covering the Porter Cup all week. Mark, always a great interview. Looking forward to talking with him. He also is a avid golfer as well, so we'll get his thoughts on everything going on in the world of golf. So Mark's going to join us in our second hour. And we also, of course, have our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. More on the Duster Challenge. We hope that if you participated last night, you enjoyed that. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Open going on overseas. Jordan Spieth is on top. It is Tee to Green live here at the Porter Cup in Niagara Falls Country Club. It's presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. With Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Midas, I'm Brian Colziel. We'll step aside, back with more Tee to Green in a moment on WGR. .734, welcome back. Final round of the Porter Cup is underway. A couple of groups are already off tee number one. The leaders, Gavin Hall, Travis Smith, Brandon Wu. All five under par. They'll go off at 10:50 today. Chris Peatfish is also five under par. He's in the second last group with Luke Mosier, who's minus three. George Cunningham, who's minus one. Defending champion Harrison Endicott is also at minus one. So Porter Cup final day. Weather looking good and a chance to come up here to see the final round. It's for free. We want to thank Tournament Director Cassie Stein for joining us last segment. A great thing in Western New York here. If you even just consider yourself kind of a fringe golfer today, coming up and watching this sort of event here is just something I feel like as a Western New Yorker you should at least experience once, Kevin. If you've got sons and daughters to take up here, if they like golf, this is a cool event to take them to. I know last year I took my son up here and a couple of the guys kind of tossed him golf balls and stuff like that. I mean, this is a cool – because you can get close. I mean, it's tough to take a younger kid to a PGA event. It's just there's too many people, and it's tough. They can't see.
Well, they have areas for them.
Well, if you have access to those areas.
No, they hit.
They've got kids' areas.
Yes.
Right.
Listen, next week at the Canadian Open, they'll have areas for the
kids. For kids. All right.
At Glen Abbey.
Yes.
So.
Well, the other cool thing is the town of Lewiston is right down the escarpment here. So
that's true.
You got a great day. You come up, you have a nice dinner in Lewiston or something like that, or go to the falls.
Go on the jet boat.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that. But it's pretty neat. A nice course to walk. It's not too hilly. So if you don't like walking too much, there's some really good spots. You can just perch and see three or four holes. We promote it all the time, but I don't know if people understand how come and watch how good these guys are.
You don't
and you'll be impressed.
Great spot to watch would be to the right of 15 green. You'd be behind 16 tee.
Yep.
You know, those last groups when they come through.
You'll also see 17 tee
shot. You'll see the 17 tee shot. I mean, that to me is probably the perfect spot to watch. And then you walk in with that final group to 18.
That'd be cool.
Great.
You can see 15, 16, and 17. And like you said, then walk in with them. It's a 400-yard walk to the next tee and catch the leaders trying to win a major amateur event.
But to Brian's point, I mean, this is as close as you're going to get to.
That's what I meant.
The caliber of player. Where you can walk along, be that close, right. See it, and it is just and then two or three years from now, you're like, wait a second, I was following Travis Smith
You might see these guys at the Web.com event next year, a bunch of these guys.
Correct.
You can't get as close at a Web.com event as you can here to these players.
Listen, I tell the story, several years ago, played with John Peterson in the Ham-Am. And he's an accomplished golfer. He just come off of finishing second in the Web.com Tour event that was in Columbus. Came here to the Porter Cup, and it was his last amateur event. And then he turned pro, and a year later, he is putting for the lead in the U.S. Open at Olympic on the 14th hole. I'm like, I played with that guy. It's in the Porter Cup. That was just like a year and a half ago. And, now he's on the PGA Tour. So... There are future PGA Tour players, no question about it, right here in the Porter Cup.
Well,
no doubt.
Look at two of the two of the champions here in the last decade. Patrick Rogers won this event. He really could have won last week at the John Deere. I mean,
yes.
he kind of fell apart at the end. DeChambeau made a nice putt on 18 to end up winning that event. And Brian Harman also is a champion here, has the record score. Harman could have won the U.S. Open. He also has a win on tour this year, too. So there's two names just recently that are now having great success on the PGA Tour.
The guy in the, right now, two back of Jordan Spieth, Matt Kuchar, played in this event.
That's right.
And he's got a chance to win his first major this weekend in the Open Championship.
The guy that won the U.S. Open, who is also in the second last pairing today at the Open, Brooks Koepka, was here. So, yeah, I mean, it's not just, yes, Tiger Woods played here. He made a hole-in-one here. Phil Mickelson played here. He won the event. David Duval, another former world number one, played in this event, won this event. But you can go recently, and we mentioned Rogers, we mentioned Harmon, we mentioned Koepka, but there's also some other players that have played in this event, this Porter Cup recently. Jason Day has played in it. Dustin Johnson has played in it. So Ricky Fowler has played in this. So really, really, really big names going on right here on this event. So it's a really cool event. It's the 59th edition, and we're looking forward to it here. We got a couple of guests lined up, so we'll get these guys locked and loaded in here. Kevin, who do we got coming in? We got Will Thompson, right?
First on the
you can
mic.
Tell by the, yeah. You can tell by the shirt, the Texas shirt. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Will Thompson's joining us right now here.
From Pittsford, Rochester, right down the road.
Yes, sir.
Will, good morning.
Morning.
Most of your rounds start with an interview, right?
Not usually.
Not yet. Not yet, Will. Yeah, not yet.
So, Will, this is your fourth Porter Cup?
Yes.
And we've been following you since you were the young age of, when was your first time you were here?
13, I think.
13
yeah.
years old.
You put on a little weight since then.
Right? Yeah, a little bit.
First time we saw him here.
So have I, a matter of fact.
That's great.
So, Will, you're an early commit to Texas, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes,
how, what year did you commit? What grade were you when you committed to Texas?
It was February of my freshman year.
Of your freshman year, you committed to Texas. That's pretty good.
Yeah, a little early.
And now you're living down in Florida, is that correct?
We kind of go half and half. I'm back up in Rochester for the summertime.
And what club you play out of in Rochester?
Oak Hill.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
How about just living and growing up in Rochester, just how that's kind of helped you along the way here? I know, you know, a lot of people that listen in Rochester, they are so prideful of the golf atmosphere and the community there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you wouldn't really think of it, but there's so many good golf courses in Rochester just all around. You got Monroe, Oak Hill, CCR, and Locust Hill. You can name a few others. And there's a lot of good junior golf growing up there, too. Like, obviously, Gavin Hall, Don Bozzelli came out of there. Gunnar Doyle's at Army now. Colin Dubnick's at Memphis. So there's a lot of good players you can play with and a lot of good courses to improve your game.
I'm glad you mentioned Monroe. That's a great club.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get, everybody talks about Oak Hill. Monroe is such a great golf course.
We've had Mervs on, the head pro there.
Jim Merv, right.
He's a show alum.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the closing holes here.
Okay.
And, you know, how difficult that is to play, or how exciting it is to play 15, 16, 17, 18. Those are great finishing holes here.
Yeah, definitely. You wouldn't think that finishing stretch would be like something, but 16 and 18 are both holes that you can make birdie really easily, or you can make double pretty quick. So it's definitely exciting. 15, depending on where they have the tees, you can try to hit a big hook and drive it or lay up, and that definitely creates something exciting down the stretch for the leaders especially. So people can be four back coming in there and then still have a chance to win, and then people can be having a few shot lead and kind of drop back. So
what's your approach to the round today? What are you thinking of when you're on the first tee? Do you have a number in your mind, or are you thinking of your plan, or what's going through your mind as you go on the first tee today?
I mean, it kind of depends. Obviously a little bit further back in the field than we want to be, so try to throw up a low number to move up the leaderboard. I kind of sometimes think of like an imaginary leader in my head.
Okay.
So I saw that T26 was at plus six. I'm five back of that, so I'm thinking like five back plus six, and just try to throw a low number and move up the leaderboard a little bit.
Will you change your plan? Did you have a plan for the golf course as you went through the week? Will it change today because you're trying to be a little more aggressive? Or will you stick to your plan and just maybe be a little more aggressive with the putts? Or what will be different? Will you do anything different, or are you just going to continue to do what you do and try to shoot low?
Probably pretty similar off the tee ball, but iron shots, I might go at pins a little bit more and try to get putts to the hole. But this course, especially the pin placements have been really tough, so you got to leave it below the hole. And then you almost would rather be 20 feet below it than like 7 feet above it. So you got to put it in the right spot, and then you can be aggressive with the putter from there.
Will Thompson from Rochester is playing at 8:20. So, Will, it's not that long. We really appreciate you giving us a few minutes for your tee time. Good luck.
Problem.
I know you'll probably be...
don't say good luck. Hook 'em horns.
Sorry. I assume that after, of course, yourself, you'll be maybe pulling for Gavin at the end here?
Yeah. I think I'll definitely be out watching. I'm definitely pulling for him. He's played well in this tournament for a while, and he's really helped it grow, so looking for him to pull it out.
Yep, and the final group, Hall is at 5-under, 8 golfers under par, and Hall's in that last group, also from Texas. So, and Gavin, I'm sure we were talking, probably will be on his way to the pro tour here. He's going to commit pro here very soon.
Yep. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, sorry, you're moving into a spot.
That's right. You're going to take it right over.
Yeah.
Well, Will, it's...
When do you leave for Texas?
Yeah.
I'm graduating a semester early, so I'll be going in December of my senior year, 2019.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, you're still young.
Yeah.
Well, play well today, and hopefully we can get you on the show here again in the next couple... I assume this event maybe will be part of your college schedule?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Okay, Will, go. We got to let you go.
Thank you.
We got to get you ready.
Appreciate
thanks so much.
It.
We're enjoying the conversation.
I know. He wants to go play well.
I know.
All right.
Okay, Will, thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Will Thompson from Rochester, Pittsford, to be exact. He tees off at 8:20 this morning.
Let's bring another local guy in real quick. All right. Ben Reichert is going to step in here.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Ben from East Amherst.
Yeah, I've only seen Ben about 10,000 times in my life. Yeah,
that's right.
Ben's a great golfer. Ben's been at Transit Valley before and done very, very well. And Ben's playing down at East Tennessee State.
Freshman year, yeah.
Freshman
transfer
year?
Next year, though.
Okay. So. And this is your second time in this event, Ben?
Third. Yeah.
Okay. And how's your third experience been?
It's been awesome. I mean, this is one of the highlights of the summer every time. I mean, this is the third time I played the golf course. This is as tough as I've seen it play. I mean, really, they got the rough up. They got some good pins out there. So, I mean, it's been great. Hopefully I can fire a low one today.
You know this course well, being from this area here too. So, I mean, what advice would you give to some of these guys that are playing it for the first time, or even just people that are listening that might play this course someday? I mean, we were talking, it's not super mega long, but boy, every golfer we talked to this week said the area around the greens is so challenging.
Yeah, it is. And it can be sneaky long too. I mean, we're not getting any roll this week too.
It's been pretty wet.
And it's a par 70, so it plays a little longer. But I think, I mean, just be patient. I mean, there's only 3 par fives out here, and they're both pretty long. I mean, so, I mean, you just got to be patient. You're going to have a few wedges in your hands.
You mentioned the toughest you've seen the golf course play. Is that because of the rough and there's no release on the fairways?
It's the rough, and, I mean, they've done a good job with the pins. They really have. I mean, it's a good test of golf this week.
Now, do you feel more pressure because you're a local kid, you got friends and family out here than you would in a regular collegiate event, or is this, or do you approach it that it's just another tournament?
Not necessarily. I usually have people out there, I mean, at most of my events, not all, but most. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just golf.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just out there trying to shoot as low as you can.
Ben Reichert with us here from East Amherst, plays out of Transit Valley. 8:30 tee time for you, so you're going to go right off after Will Thompson's group here today. Just tell us maybe just the last thing before we let you go. What do players do 45 minutes before their tee time? You know, besides your normal radio interview on Tee to Green.
Yeah.
Tell,
right, yeah.
What's the next 45 minutes like before
you
tee
off? I think
it
involves a cell phone.
Yeah, usually. usually I get here. I'll hit some putts on a chalk line or whatever, just kind of, you know, get some feel going. Then I'll head over and hit some chips. I hit some ball. I don't hit too many balls before I go off, maybe 30 to 40 balls, just get loose, really. Mm-hmm. And then come back to the putting green with one ball and hit anywhere between maybe 8, 12 putts, and then I'm ready to go to the first tee.
He used to hit a lot of balls. I remember seeing him. No, I remember seeing you with your dad at Battistoni's Golf Center in Clarence.
Yeah.
Probably when you were 5 or 6, I'd be out there hitting balls with your dad. So it's nice to see you evolving the player that you've become, Ben.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great. Thank you.
Well, Ben, good luck today.
Hey, nice to see you, Ben.
Yeah, good to see you.
I'll be seeing you
thanks.
Around.
Yeah.
Ben Reichert, East Amherst here, one of the local players in this event on the Porter Cup. Ben tees off at 8:30. We had Will Thompson from Rochester. He tees off at 8:20. We wish all the local players well. All right, well, let's take a break here on Tee to Green. 7:47 is the time. We're live at the Porter Cup. More from Niagara Falls Country Club, and we've got a lot for you here. We're going a bonus hour today. We're here till 9, so lots going on. The leaders tee off at 10:50. If you're just waking up and tuning in and maybe interested in or enjoying the coverage here, you can come up. It's a free event to attend here in Lewiston at Niagara Falls Country Club. All right, more after this timeout on WGR. Time for our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard.
Brian, that was impressive.
Yeah.
I tried to do it right on the beat.
I'm mad at both of you, or at least one of you. I also had a mic last night, the Duster Challenge. DJ Jimmy was spinning the tunes.
It was awesome.
You wanted me to drop rhymes.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what the name of the song is, but, you know, Boots with the Fur. I threw the line on the mic, and was looking at me, I'm like, no one else? Come on.
Well, it was the dance moves that went with it.
I think it was more so that part shocking. That I was just trying to look the other way with.
It took about a minute before stuff stopped moving. That was the problem.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But welcome back here to the Porter Cup, Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston. Brian Colesiel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro. Jeff Mitas with you here as we check our PGA Tour leaderboard. You heard there. It's brought to you by Cobra Puma Golf and also by Encore Golf. So Cobra Puma provided some of our gifts last night.
Mark Richel, nice showing in the tournament.
And Mark Richel, who brought those nice gifts for the kids,
and
had a
Encore.
Nice showing. And Encore, everybody used the Encore balls
last
night.
That's why so many putts were made. They're using the Encore ball.
That's right. Good putting
last
night.
The elixir.
No doubt. We are checking. We've given you Porter Cup leaderboards all day long here. Let's give you the Open leaderboard. Jordan Spieth, your solo leader in the final group today at -6. Matt Kuchar, two shots back at -4. They tee off this morning at 10:55. If you want to watch it on TV, it's on Golf Channel all morning, and then it'll switch over to NBC in the afternoon.
Channel 2.
That's right. Ian Poulter, Brooks Koepka are in the second last group at 10:45. They are at -3. Richie Ramsey and Austin Connolly, they are -2 and -1, respectively.
You have both of those guys in your pool, right?
I do.
Okay.
Rory McIlroy and Gary Woodland, two guys that can hit it a mile at -1. And then Alex Noren will go off. He's even, along with Russell Henley, Hideki Matsuyama. The player today that's making the most move, Tommy Fleetwood is 4-under. He's got it to +1. Jason Day is also 4-under. He's got it to +1. So there are some low scores out there as the Open, again, in round 3 today from Royal Birkdale.
Well, the conditions were rather docile this morning. I'm trying to use an English term.
I like it.
Docile. Compared to yesterday, which was just, you know, heavy, heavy rains. They had to suspend play for a few minutes to squeegee the greens. So conditions were open conditions, if you will, yesterday. Early morning, they've been calm. May pick up this afternoon. So that's, you know, moving. That's, you know, the advantage, right? I mean, that's where you help identify the players and bring the field together.
Well, and sometimes the draw where you're in the field in the first two rounds can seriously affect how you're gonna do in this tournament. So there is some luck involved, depending on, you know, what weather you catch.
Remember the year Woods and O'Meara were playing together, and they both shot in 80s? Yeah, because it was, they were playing in basically a hurricane.
Yeah, the ball. Yeah, but that's what we like about the British Open. That's why the British Open, the Open Championship. Is so much fun to watch, and that's a nice leaderboard to watch those guys. Brooks Koepka, how's he doing this year?
Porter Cup alum, by the way, is Matt Kuchar.
I'm a little upset neither of you have mentioned, gave me even a pat on the back for my pick of our leader here. He hasn't won yet.
Spieth.
And at the Open, I had the leader after Saturday, too, and he didn't win. But Spieth, I think he is in the catbird seat here for this event. He hits a nice flat ball. He's been putting very well. He's won some majors. He's a confident man. He's
recent winner.
He's a Texas Travelers. Alum, Will Thompson will be someday from here.
And well, you have to actually graduate from Texas to be an alum. He played at Texas.
Oh, that's true.
Played
that's
one
true.
Year, so.
Yeah, then went to pro.
Also, we get.
I'm sure they still ask him for a donation check, though.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, our still wears a hat.
That's right.
Our Champions Tour report is brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook, affordable adult assisted living. There's no Champions Tour event this week because of the Open. There are some Champions Tour players in the event. The highest on the board right now is Steve Stricker. He's tied for 28th, +2, the Champions Tour player there. Stricker has been pretty good as of late, as he had to qualify for the U.S. Open in Wisconsin. He's played some PGA events and had some nice go at it, and now he's playing very well at the Open. Want to mention another Champions Tour player, Marco Mira, who won this event at Royal Birkdale, the Open, that is, in 1998. He was in the first group off on Thursday. They let him hit the first tee shot as the winner there from 1998. Unfortunately, it went out of bounds, and he had a rough first hole. But He actually was very close to making the cut. He actually only missed it by just one. He only missed it by one shot. So if he doesn't hit that one OB, he's probably playing the weekend. But
I'm sure, he appreciates you reminding everybody here on TD Green.
Yeah, but pretty cool. They let him hit the first shot. He won it 98. Of
he
course,
won the Masters that year too, right?
Yes, he won two Player of the Year. He had an amazing year. He won at 98. Then the next time it was at Royal Birkdale was 2008. That was when Padraig Harrington won. Harrington had that great year where he won the British and then won the PGA.
And then won the British again.
And then won the British again, coming back. That's right. And then it's back here in Birkdale in 2017. A lot of players are saying that, I know that they don't want to disrespect St. Andrews, and it's partially just obviously with all the tradition there, but a lot of players are saying, like, this is their favorite in the rotation of all the R&A courses. The
players love that. They love that golf course. Interesting what they did on Tuesday, the Royal and Ancient. The ninth tee, the ninth hole, doglegs right. And the hole to the right is the tenth hole. So players were just firing it down 10 fairway to have a wedge into the green. So they enacted a local rule on Tuesday that says the 10th fairway is out of bounds for players playing the ninth hole.
And in-course out of bounds is abhorrent to lovers of the rules of golf. So it must have been serious.
It was a safety issue for spectators. Sure. Is what their concern was. So that's why they enacted it.
For those keeping track at home, which I know many of you are. So, Jeff, you picked Spieth. He's winning. You had Garcia. He's plus two. Right there, 28th. I had Rahm, who is plus three in 44th. So all our guys made the cut. So we're going to give ourselves kudos for that. Okay, time out here. You'd think the show's over.
It's not.
We got a whole another hour coming your way here from Lewiston at Niagara Falls Country Club. The final round of the Porter Cup's underway. Leaders tee off at 10:50, including the big name in the field, Gavin Hall, playing in his sixth Porter Cup event. Can he get it done? He is amongst four tied for the lead heading into the final round today. We encourage you to come up. It's a free event and a lot of fun. A guy that's been all over this course this week covering the event, Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News, longtime writer for the Buffalo Bills. He was on the Hall of Fame committee as well. And, of course, just loves golf, knows a lot about golf. We're looking forward to talking to him next. He'll be joining us live to talk about the Porter Cup and golf in Western New York and everything there is to it here. Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News coming up next. As we are live, TD Green from the Porter Cup with PGA Pro Jeff Mitas and Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colziel. Hour two of TD Green next on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.